The Sports Cage Podcast is brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse. Order your favorite CBH menu items from the comfort of your home with Skip the Dishes.
4:05 on a Wednesday, the Sports Cage brought to you by the All Things Freight app, connecting freight companies and shippers. Download the free Saskatchewan-made app in the App Store and Google Play. There are great sports days that we have as fans. And then there are the days that our own Clayton Croker had yesterday. Not only did his favorite football team have the number 2 draft pick, they took one of Saskatoon's finest, Nelson Lacombo. Clayton, well done, sir.
I mean, clearly Jeremy O'Day listens to the show because I've been saying every Wednesday that the Riders should be taking this guy at number 2. Watching him play for the Huskies, like getting a front row seat to see what this guy does in the secondary. Like, Rider fans, you should be so excited. Rider fans in Saskatoon are already excited. We know what this guy brings to the table.
Yeah.
And Rams fans, I mean, he had a couple pretty good games against you guys. So you saw what he can do firsthand to a game as well. This guy's just a freak, and I can't wait to see him play for the Riders.
He was the most outstanding defensive player in the entire nation in 2019, won the President's Trophy. Man, number 2 pick in the draft. The Riders made out fantastically, it looks like, in this draft. If you look at pre-draft mocks, guys that were going 1 and 2, actually, trying to think, 1, 2, 3, yeah, they got just about everybody that the mock drafters had going high in this draft. It was great. We will talk to Mr. Nelson Lacombo a little later in the show. Last time we had him on, We interviewed him as the GMs of the Rose Street Warriors. He said he wouldn't be super happy to be selected by us. I presume he's much happier, Clayton, to be selected by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Do you remember how awkward his answer was when we did like the fake draft interview? I don't know if we can find that audio, but it was the funniest response ever. I think after that, he was like, hey, I got to do my homework here and I got to start preparing for these questions.
He was really looking for, how he would fit into the Rose Street Warriors. Then he just went, no, I don't know anything about your team. No, forget it. Don't bother. I'm like, yes. Perfect. All right. Well, I mean, and us picking third, we never had an opportunity, so we don't have to go through the awkwardness. Who was it? Oh, it was Steve Francis when the Vancouver Grizzlies drafted him in 96, where he just throws his head, or 90, whatever it was, throws his head back like, oh, God, Vancouver. We didn't have to go through that awkwardness because the Riders made it easy on us.
Well, remember Eli Manning's pouty face when he got picked by the Chargers too, just sitting up there like, this isn't what my dad wanted. And he was just, yeah, like that was the very first Eli face, the first of many.
The first of oh so many. We'll talk to Nelson Lacombo, 6:05, TSN CFL Insider Farhan Lalji at 4:30. We'll go all around the draft with Farhan. There were some questionable picks. There was one team that really swung for the fences. We'll get his impression of how the Riders did. What do you think? What do you think? Nelson Lacombo at 2, down through Logan Bandy. They took a tight end. What do you think? No Saskatchewan Huskies or Rams going to the Riders, but give us your impressions of the Riders draft on the text line, 306-936-6262. As always, you can get us on Twitter at Sports Cage. Ian McMillan of Odd Shark. We'll talk some NFL and some NHL with him. And Pat Simmons, 2-time Brier champion. He is back on the curling circuit, chasing a spot at the Olympics with a rink from Manitoba. I love that he's going to Winnipeg Beach to do it, but it's great to have Pat Simmons back in the curling world. We'll talk to him at 5:30. Overall, Clayton, when you look at the Riders draft, when we had the show yesterday, we had gotten through the Nelson Lacombo pick, but we weren't quite down into round number 2. They take Terrell Janna, the receiver from Virginia, at 17. At 20, tight end Bruno Labelle, a kid from Montreal who went to Cincinnati in the NCAA. Fourth round, they go to Guelph for a defensive lineman, Alain Simakanda. Logan Bandy, who was, 18th on the Scouting Bureau Combine. The Riders got him at 38, an offensive lineman out of Calgary. And defensive back Matt Watson, 53rd overall out of Mount Allison, a guy who had 3 interceptions back in 2019. When you look at the draft they put together, what's your initial impression?
Well, I love it because they got some guys who can contribute right now. Like Terrell Janna, getting him with the 17th pick. A lot of experts had him as like the best receiver in the draft, maybe outside of Josh Palmer. But I mean, he was great at Virginia. Bruno Labelle was being labeled as this kind of X factor in the draft as well. He's a big body, 6'4", 250, played tight end at a very good Cincinnati team the last couple seasons. I like that pick. I mean, it's very intriguing picking tight ends in the CFL because there aren't any usually, right? But I think he could be a great, great slot back. That Logan Bandy pick in the fifth round, though, like Calgary offensive linemen, there's something about them. They're just different, right? Like Calgary offensive linemen, they're kind of like Saskatchewan Husky linemen in the early 2000s. They were just pumping them out. And this Bandy kid, I mean, sure, he didn't have as much hype as the other Calgary linemen. He did early on, but he kind of fell for a bit. I don't know why he fell in draft rankings, but getting him in the fifth round, huge steal for the Riders.
Yeah, you mentioned the receivers. They get Terrell Janna, second round, 17th overall. Only four wide receivers went in this draft, period, which that totally caught me off guard because confirmed this is still a passing league. I don't know if the crop was. You mentioned Josh Palmer, a guy who went 77th in the NFL draft. No one was going to spend a six-round pick on that because he's going to be down there for a while. But only four proper wide receivers taken in this draft, I think, to me, was one of the true surprises.
Well, I think it might be because every team in the CFL is loaded at receiver right now. Like, you look across the board, every team has a pretty good 1-2 punch, and every team has some okay Canadian depth. I mean, I'm sure if you really dissect it, you could find maybe one or two teams. But I think every team right now is just pretty set at receiver, and they were trying to get some other needs figured out. That might be why there was only four picked.
Yeah, very well could be. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into the draft, right, with signability and availability. Hamilton has already signed Jake Burt, their number one overall pick, to his three-year contract. That's great for them. We'll find out from Nelson what's going to happen with his deal, what his hope is for the coming season. Man, a lot of teams taking guys who were available and ready to come to the CFL early on in this one. And then we move on to, you know, the guys who were in the NFL ecosystem right now. And then it's just an absolute free-for-all. Terrell getting the top receiver in the draft, a guy who's been through 4 years of NCAA football in Terrell Janna. I did not see that one coming at all. I thought he was number one to Hamilton. Done. Let's go.
Well, I think the icing on the cake is getting Bruno Labelle as well. Like, I kind of got a man crush on this guy already. He hasn't even played a snap. He hasn't even stepped on the practice field. Like, I just love his physicality. I love just the possibilities for him at the slot back position, maybe a little bit of fullback and H-back, who knows. Yeah. But this guy, I mean, he was good for Cincinnati, and Cincinnati was a real good football team as well. Good players on good football teams, that's usually a good sign, DT.
They list him at what, like 6'3 and 250?
6'4, 250.
Yeah, 6'4, 250. That is such a big body for the NFL. Like, that's Charleston Hughes isn't even 250 pounds, right? It's an unusual body type for the National Football League. I'm curious to see. I wonder if he'll maybe have to lean out just a little bit and play it to, I don't know, 230, 240, or shoot, if you can run, who cares how big you are? If you can run and get open, and man, you could be wham blocking some backside ends that are smaller than you are. Actually, that sounds pretty good at 250.
Couple good Regina Rams getting picked up too, especially from the Bombers. I mean, Kyle Borsa going in the fifth round. I know a lot of Rider fans were hoping they were going to get Kyle Borsa, but I think that's going to end up being kind of a steal with all the stuff going on with Kyle Borsa. I think maybe teams are wanting to stay away, but the comparisons to Nick Dembski, I mean, once you heard of that, you're like, wow, yeah, you're right. This guy is like a Nick Dembski clone out there. And then Robbie Lowe's going to Winnipeg as well. So the Bombers are taking all our guys.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? I'm not down with that. Great for the guys to get a shot in the CFL and be picked in the fourth and fifth round. But come on, Winnipeg?
That's classic Winnipeg taking our guys, though. Classic Winnipeg.
Well, they know, right? They're grown better here. They just know. All right, I guess I can't blame them for being smart. But yeah, Robbie Lowe's, when we had him on the show on Wednesday, when we asked him, we were talking about how he hates the movie Rudy. He said, I can't stand the movie Rudy. And I said, so if you Grey Cup final play, you're not letting some guy just come on for you. And he immediately referenced, if I'm back with the Rams next season. And I kind of took from that, I wonder if he thinks he's not going to get picked in the draft, and he's going to, I was trying to infer from what he'd said, what he thought his future was. But then boom, fourth round, Robbie Lowe's, University of Regina. He and Borsa, two of five Saskatchewan players who played their U Sports football here taken in the draft. Final pick of the first round, Nick Cross. You remember from his time as a Regina Rams zinger out
yeah.
of UBC.
He was really good. He played 1 year with the Rams, and then he left us. But he was good while he was here. Man, he was really good. So it was sweet to see him picked yesterday as well. He was on that team with the Rams when Nick Daly was just tearing things up on the defensive line. And Nick Daly as well was drafted by the Bombers. I think that was last year's draft.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. Winnipeg just likes taking our guys, I guess.
Taking our guys.
Whatever.
As I was Googling up Nick Cross last night, you see words that kind of don't make sense anymore, and that he was what, 2017 Rookie of the Year, and then as I say, he was suspended for cannabis, and you go, that doesn't really compute anymore. That's if I see that, that's not a thing anymore, Clayton.
No, exactly. I don't know. It's just one of those things. Like, to be honest with you, like, I kind of spaced out there, to be honest with you. So can you repeat the question? That was weird. I just had a weird concussion moment there where I spaced out.
Too many hits chasing down those pick sixes. I totally understand. No, I said I was Googling up Nick Cross yesterday. Just his time with the Rams was before my time here, and it, you know, 2017, fantastic season. He had been the first guy to be a starter as a true freshman since 2008, and then I saw the line suspended for cannabis, and I'm like, that's no longer a thing. That's so 4 years ago. That's not a thing anymore. That's not something I'm even remotely concerned about.
That's not a red flag. It might be like a blue flag. I don't know. Like, yeah, that used to be a huge red flag for teams, right?
Right.
And times are changing, right? Thanks, Trudeau. And
we were super weird about marijuana for a long time.
Like, do you think Josh Gordon's looking back on everything like, man, if I just would have like waited, you know, if I would have just been born a couple years later, I could have been like, I could have gone down as one of the best.
His career is absolutely going to be need a 30 for 30 in 10 years. Speaking of Josh Gordon, the erstwhile NFL receiver, because he ran into so many problems with marijuana. I think his went to a whole different level and other stuff goes into that, but marijuana, you're walking down the street nowadays, marijuana, boom, here you go, let's go to the store, hey, here's 15 chains selling marijuana in Regina proper, in Saskatoon proper, and to think that just a few years ago it was a big deal. I remember I was watching Young Rock, and there's Warren Sapp, they're playing, you know, because Dwayne Johnson and Warren Sapp played together, and I remember Warren Sapp having marijuana troubles when he was playing. It's like, yeah, that's who the hell cares now? It's amazing how far we've come on that.
I forgot about that Nick Cross news about marijuana. I forgot that even happened. That happened? Like, wow. That's how significant it is, I guess. Like, it doesn't mean anything, right?
Oh, yeah. Here you go. A story from CBC in 2018. Regina Rams player stripped of National Rookie of the Year award after cannabis use.
Oh,
that sentence does not make a lick of sense anymore,
man.
None whatsoever. Congratulations to Nick Cross, because he played for the Rams. I'm just saying, six Rams and Huskies taken in the draft. Truly, it's five, but yeah, you're associated. Jake Burt, born in Regina. Let's call it seven Saskatchewan connected players taken in the draft. Man, Clayton, we can pump out football players here. It is a fantastic celebration of Saskatchewan football every CFL draft.
Something's in the water. Something's in the water, DT. Maybe that's why Regina water tastes a bit off. Something's in there that just makes football players.
Yeah, it's solids and that special something, kiss of something else that makes Regina water unpalatable to everybody who's outside Regina, I'm told. It is 4:19. TSN CFL insider Farhan Lalji will join us at 4:30. Marshall in Regina's on the text line with an update from the under-18s. That's next.
Afternoon Rush. Canada West has approved new formats for the 2021-22 sports seasons. Rams and Huskies football will play 6 games. Hockey will play 20 games with extra games within geographic lines. And basketball and volleyball teams will play in Saskatchewan-Manitoba Division. BC Lions, 2020 first overall pick, Jordan Williams. They signed him to his entry-level contract, and the 26-year-old linebacker is expected to start for the Lions this season. An update from the U18 Worlds. Canada taking on Sweden right now in the semifinal. was 1-0, and then Sweden tied it at 1, and then Canada has just taken the lead. It's now 2-1 Canada, and Connor Bedard got the first goal for Team Canada. So hopefully Canada. It's quite surprising, though. Like, Canada was winning, or they beat Sweden 12-1, I think, the first meeting, and now it's 2-1. It's crazy. Two-time Brier champ Pat Sibbins, he's going to be joining us on the cage at 5:30, DT.
I feel like this is the time, Zinger. We just need to put the pressure on Clayton.
I think so.
Connor Bedard ripping it up at the U18s. He's got the first goal of this one. 3 minutes and 50 seconds into the second period. Confirmed Connor Bedard plays for the Regina Pats.
I'll confirm that.
Confirmed Clayton Croker lives in Saskatoon. Says he's a Blades fan.
Yep.
I feel like we need to peer pressure him into becoming a Pats fan.
Mm-hmm.
Can we work on this?
Yep.
Clayton, where are you on this? Becoming a Pats fan. Abandon the Blades.
Yep.
Become a Connor Bedard convert.
Yep.
I'd rather be forced to drink Regina tap water for the rest of my life,
yes.
if I'm being honest with you. Go Blades, go, boys. I mean, everyone's talking about Connor Bedard, and rightfully so. The guy's a stud, but I'd rather have just four solid lines, and that's what the Blades are going to have for the next 2 or 3 years. Kyle Krinkovic, Colton Dock, Dylan Grandjean-Dierre on the back end. This team's good. Great goaltending, too.
Come on. Superstar status.
How are the Blades doing in this U18 tournament? Do we have any Blades players
tearing
it up?
I don't think we
Oh, no, I don't think so.
We got a Pat. We got a Prince Albert Raider in there. PA Raiders outshining the Saskatoon Blades, Clayton. Come on.
How's that feel?
I thought we were friends, guys. What's going on? This is bullying.
Just come on to the dark side. Just come on to the – come into the light. Coming like 2-for-1 hot dogs on Wednesdays. What could be better? You get to see the guy who's going to be the first overall pick in 2023. The greatest Pat of all time, says Zinger.
Yep.
How can this not appeal to you? You're going on loyalty. You're going on history. You're going on the city you love. What are you doing?
I only cheered for the Pats one time. My good buddy, I'm going to name drop here, my buddy Lane Scheidel, he was an assistant for the Pats back in the day. He had a 5-goal game for the Pats, I believe, once. The only time I'll cheer for the Pats is if my Saskatoon friends are playing for them. So Chandler Stevenson, Colton Stevenson was a big fan of them too.
But we got K9. Like, who does Saskatoon have? Who's their mascot?
Oh, we got Pokecheck.
Pokecheck.
He's a Yeti. He's an abominable snowman.
That
we used to have
up.
Helmut. He was a dog, but it made no sense.
Wow.
That sounds made up. But you got a cavernous rink they play in. Come on, you can feel the warm confines of the Brandt Center from the gold.
At least our rink attracts good concerts. Have fun with Brad Paisley for the 13th time in a row. Sick.
God, I love this. I love Clayton so much. Oh my God, I love it. Outstanding. He will not take a bit of guff. He will not take any guff whatsoever. And I love it. Marshall in Regina is the one giving us the updates on the hockey game. Bedard had the goal. Marshall saying Sweden scored 5-on-3. That really doesn't count. Honestly, that should be like worth half a goal.
Yeah, that
honestly.
Doesn't count. Yeah. Doesn't count.
Canada retakes the lead 2-1. Marshall, keep the updates coming. We love it, especially celebrating the greatness that is the coming Pats dynasty.
Dynasty, Clayton. I saw Canada's second goal. It was the biggest garbage goal, I think, of history. There was just a big pile up in front, and somehow it went in. But yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah.
And plus, Sweden only got half a goal, so it's 2-2. A half.
Yeah, 2-1/2. Let's call it that. Clayton, I don't think I had ever honestly watched the U18s before this year, and my interest has been entirely connected to Connor Bedard, but man, watching Shane Wright, who's going to be the first pick in 2022, presumably. I want to see the 16-year-old kid from Russia who's leading the tournament in scoring and will be in Bedard's draft year. I'm on the verge of really getting into these world tournaments, even for the young kids.
Some people are saying that young Russian kid and Connor Bedard, this is going to be like the first chapter of Crosby and Ovi 2.0. Like, they're saying that this tournament, when they face each other in the gold medal, because it looks like those two teams are going to play each other. These scores are ridiculous. Team Canada is just rolling over everyone. But they're saying that these two players, Connor Bedard, and again, I don't know the Russian kid's name, but they're like the new Crosby and Ovechkin. And apparently it's going to be just this epic rivalry again.
Which, I mean, is fantastic, right? And as the media, we will make them vomit, those two kids vomit by how we're going to do them. I'm going to pull up Matvei Michkov is the kid, December 2004 born. He's not a big guy, 5'10 and like 150 pounds. Not a particularly big kid at the age of 16. 5'10, 160. So Connor's an inch shorter and 20 pounds heavier. I think as hockey fans, that's going to be great. But two, as the media, we're going to browbeat Connor with, oh, so you're playing against Matvey now. Oh, how's that going? It's like, I don't. What was it, McDavid and Eichel? Where McDavid's like, I really don't know him very much, so why would I hate him? Why are you asking me these questions? Please stop with this.
Yeah, we're the worst. The worst.
Yeah, but to your point, right? Like Crosby, Ovechkin at when you heard of this guy Ovechkin, right, in advance of the 2005, 2006? You go, oh, wow.
Earlier than that.
What's this guy all about? Oh, my goodness. Those kind of things, those international rivalries, those are fantastic as long as we don't maybe put too much on kids who are 15, 16, and 17.
How tall are these kids, too? Like, they're under 5'10", right? Or right around 5'10", 5'9"?
Michkov is listed at 5'10". Connor is listed at 5'9".
Zinger, how many young hockey players when you played back in the day, I don't know if you played, but probably knew some friends that were short, but just amazing hockey players. But because of the time, they wouldn't get a sniff in the dub or any scout would look at them because they're small. And now in today's NHL, all these shorter players are getting a shot. Like, how many guys do you know that would probably get a legit NHL shot right now?
Well, I have a couple examples from when I was growing up. I played against the name's escaping me now, but one of the guys I played against was Jaden Schwartz. He was on the Belgoni Stars at the time when I was on the Flyers. Another one was J.C. LaPon, who went on to play for the Winnipeg Jets. And the kid from Lumsden, Archibald, I can't remember his first name. He's on Edmonton now, I believe, but he played on the Lumsden Lions when I was a kid. So those guys were always short, but still the skill there. They still got the opportunity for it, so I don't really have any examples as far as guys with a lot of skill that were short that didn't actually get opportunities, but those are some of the names that come to mind. Everyone knew they were going to the show.
I've got so many guys I played with growing up where it's like, man, they were like 5'8", 5'9". No scout would look at them, but they're getting like 90 goals a year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I could name drop them, but you'd have no idea who they were because they never got a shot. And it just seems like all these guys now are 5'9", 5'10". They're getting their shot. And man, 20 years ago, that was not the case.
No. Josh Archibald. Archibald.
Hockey's changed a lot in 20 years. And if you're letting the smaller skilled guys compete, it's, in my mind, changed for the better. 4:30, TSN CFL Insider Farhan Lalji next in the cage. One big number for this day is 4. In the fourth round last night, the Riders took defensive lineman Alan Simakanda from Guelph. It was the third time in the last two drafts the Riders took a player from Guelph, and Kian Schaefer-Baker, the receiver in 2020, linebacker Junior Allen from the Griffins, all done in the fourth round. Is there a conspiracy there between Jeremy O'Day and the Guelph Griffins? Maybe between the Griffins and round number 4? That is a topic we will absolutely not investigate. It's just kind of a neat coincidence. Jim is on the text line. It says Saskatoon does get bigger concerts. Problem is, you have to go to Saskatoon. Boom from Jim. I love it. I love it. Very well done. Keep the text coming. 306-936-6262. All the guests of the show appear on the Western Pizza Hotline. Don't feel like cooking tonight? No problem. Just order Western Pizza with contactless delivery available. Every time I envision Farhan Lalji now, I'm going to envision him in his 2021 CFL draft shirt. Because damn, dude, that thing looked fine. You looked good yesterday.
You like that, did you?
That was solid. You abandoned any sort of geometric print, and you went to, I don't even know what to call that style, but it had little designs in it that I thought, oh yeah, this guy's smoking. Boom.
I'm sure we could come up with a Ryder Green version of that for you.
Oh, bring it on. Bring it on. The draft yesterday, I love the coverage you guys did over 2 hours. I thought you did fantastic. I did not expect Jake Burt, number 1 overall, to the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Should I have been surprised?
Excuse me. Wait a minute. We were in a text exchange, and you said, who's going number 1? What did I tell you?
Well, I didn't want to out you on this, but you said Jake Burt or Terrell Janna, but I think it's going to be Janna because of Hamilton's roster. It's because of Hamilton's roster I didn't expect Burt to be number one.
Well, like, truthfully, the only reason I didn't expect it, I knew they wanted to go receiver, and I knew they wanted to have a guy in the building, but I think that I kind of thought it would be Janna because they have Nikola Kalinic.
Exactly.
He's a very similar body type and skill set to Jake Burt. And I think Jake Burt is more dynamic and more versatile and more athletic, you know, beyond just the size piece. So they went in that regard. And I think the fact that he's got pro experience also helped them because it would put him in a position to compete a lot sooner, right? And you couple that with his 4.48 40 time, and you probably have somebody that can do some things, right? As long as he can manage to stay healthy because he's had a track record. But I've drawn the comparison to Alex Singleton just from a logistical standpoint in that goes to the NFL as an undrafted free agent, gets some experience as a pro, then puts his name into the CFL and winds up getting drafted and has a great career. Certainly different positions, but when you look at Burt, I think that year of pro experience in the New England Patriots facility for an entire season, I think that really helps him a lot in terms of making an adjustment because he's not going to get wowed by the speed and just what he's going to be asked to do. I think that probably put him a little bit ahead of Janna going into this, even though, you know, when you look at their body types on the surface, maybe the other one was a bit of a fit. Obviously, Hamilton has needed to fix their Canadian receiver problem for a while, and they've managed to be an elite team without that. But if they could fix that in the ratio, they'd be so much better. You know, you go back to Mark Chapman, who didn't play even before that. Like, they've gone after Canadian receivers and tried to figure it out and haven't been able to.
Yeah, I just looking at their depth chart, they took, what, Tyler Tarnowski last year, David Unger on the roster. Yep. They got Brian Jones. That's receiver was
don't
a good
forget play. Marcus Davis.
I will absolutely not. I don't know who that is. You may have made that
Marcus
up.
Davis
I'm not.
Marcus Davis is a talented guy.
Okay.
He's 5'9". His brother Terrell played in the CFL with Hamilton in BC, and then he's a UBC product, was an exceptional player at UBC, and he's got the speed to make a difference. He's got import-level speed, but just hasn't really been given that opportunity. And, you know, whether the size has worked against him or not, it's hard to say. You know, the problem is that when you're in most situations, and the riders are going to be different with Terrell Janna, in most situations, whenever you look for a Canadian receiver, you want him to play that field side Z spot, right? And, you know, you don't necessarily want that quick scat back type guy to be out there, which Marcus Davis kind of is. And you look at Jake Burt, he doesn't fit that style. So maybe they're actually going to think outside the box a little bit and put him inside and try to let him do a few different things.
Clayton and I were talking earlier about four guys listed as wide receivers went in this draft. The first one wasn't until the Riders took Janna at 17. You were not the only one thinking he was going high. There were more than a few people who had mocked him very high in this draft. For Rider fans, what did we get in Terrell Janna at 17?
I think you got a guy that is played at a high level and has been highly productive. He catches the football. He's got a high target rate in terms of catch percentage. He does everything well, except he's got an average 40 time. And a lot of people said to me in the process earlier that, well, wouldn't he be great with a waggle? And I thought, well, who's going to give a Z receiver a waggle, right? Like, that's not going to help Terrell Janna. But talking to Craig Dickinson, he's like, no, we're going to let him try out at slot, and we think he's got a chance to compete to start right away. So Justin McInnes, I think, has been penciled into the ratio as that potential Z player. Mm-hmm. So do the Riders go with two Canadian receivers in their lineup, and does that give them some flexibility? Because I think originally they were planning to go with three on defense, right? Two in the secondary and one at D-line. So, you know, Nelson Lacombo could be a guy that can help them in the secondary to make them confident enough where they can start Edom and Buka, because you know you've got a Lacombo right there. Or you go McInnes Janna on the offensive side, and now you don't have to start three on defense, because I think Mac Henry is somebody they've penciled in as a potential replacement for
Zach Evans.
Zach Evans, right? So, yeah. You know, so they've got some flexibility now because they've got two guys that are going to be in the building. And when you look at skill position now, guys, those two are right at the top of the list in terms of skill positions that are going to be available early.
Yeah, I love everything that J.O. has done in the draft the last couple of years and in free agency, because you mentioned flexibility. You just assume Edom, Henry, and the interior three offensive linemen will start, plus at least one receiver. So for that other one, you can go to field corner, because with the draft, you've now got four Canadians who might be able to play defensive back. Brett Boyko's on your roster. There's a guy who's played tackle. Evan Johnson's played tackle. If you wanted to go that way, you could investigate that. The thought of Janna as a second Canadian receiver with Braden Lennia still on the roster, a guy who could probably play inside, has leaned out a little bit, maybe wants to play outside. Just the options that O'Day has given this team in free agency and through the last two drafts. As a fan, I am super jacked.
Yeah, you know, and they've also made a great effort in the last couple of drafts and free agency to get a little bit younger at offensive line, because we know Clark and Labatt aren't getting any younger, but now you've got Evan Johnson, who's probably going to start, and then you've also got last year's draft pick, Matlin Riley, right, who's going to be able to come in a year older, you're stronger, and he'll be able to compete as well, right? So, I think they've done some good things, and they got good value with Logan Bandy, who I think was, he went lower than most people thought. I thought he was rated higher than he should have been going into the process. You know, I kind of had him in that third round range. So, you know, people were talking about him being the number one offensive lineman off the board. And he didn't necessarily warrant that, but he doesn't warrant a fifth either. He's a steal at five for the Riders there too, right? And if you get Bruno Labelle back in the fold in 2 years' time, I think this has the potential to be a really good draft for them. But, you know, for them, they wanted guys to play right away. Most teams, I felt, were going to go one future, one guy that would be available right now. I was surprised the Riders went with two guys right now. But when you get Janna at that point falling to you, it's hard to say no.
Yeah, what Calgary – some of the names, they kind of wash over you and you go, okay, well, Calgary clearly is okay with waiting for some folks, right? They get Ogbong Bamiga early on, and they're the team that rolls the dice on Chuba Hubbard. I have to say, when I see the first three picks the BC Lions made, I thought, oh, they're swinging from the heels on this draft. They want to just crush that ball down the middle. Oh, boy.
Yeah, you know, and they're a team that needs help, right? Like, they need Canadian help in a big way. Problem is, there aren't very many that can help you right now. Right, and people had differing views on Lacombe and Janna's ability to help in 2021. Right, so if you're the Lions and you can't get help in 2021, you might as well swing for the fences. And they, you know, they need defensive line help, and there were only three legitimate defensive linemen in this crop that you know could be CFL players. When you look at Mohamed Diallo and you look at Daniel Joseph, you know, those are two of the three, right? And you've also got Luigi Villain, right, who's another one that transferred from Michigan, and I think he's going to Rutgers, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, you've got some guys. Sorry, not he's not going to Rutgers. He's going to I'm losing my mind here. Wake Forest. Anyway, either way, he's transferred. I know it's Patrice Rene who's going to Rutgers from North Carolina.
There you go.
So when you look at defensive linemen, you know, there's only three legitimate ones in this draft. And you know, say what you want about who Edmonton took at the top of the draft as a freakish athlete. Right, with Cole Nelson, that was a reach, right? Like, I don't know that anybody else would have considered taking Cole Nelson in the top two rounds just because of his lack of experience. But a 300-pound guy at that size that runs 4.5, you know, you roll the dice. There's only three guys that for sure you know if they don't go to the NFL can play in this league, and the Lions wanted one of them. They haven't had a legitimate defensive lineman that's Canadian since Brent Johnson played for them, and they've tried. They traded up to get Junior Luke, and who was the other guy that Ed Hervey traded for? Another Francophone defensive line.
David Menard was on the roster.
Julian Laurent. Like, Laurent, David Menard was a good rotational guy, but they had, you know, and then so they've swung at it, right? Like, they S.A. Mrabore, they have swung. They have tried, and none of them have worked. So if they can get Daniel Joseph, he will be a starter in this league and will be a good starter in this league. And same thing offensively. You know, you don't want to get into the Brett Boyko situation where BC waited for him for essentially into year four and then it never worked out. You know, you want to be able to get a guy sooner than that. And I think they took a chance that, you know, Alaric Jackson is going to be available sooner. And I was shocked that he didn't get drafted. He had a fifth round draft grade, and everybody that goes to the Senior Bowl gets drafted. And you can't, it's unfathomable to me that a guy could start 42 games at Iowa in the Big Ten. He's faced Nick Bosa, he's faced Chase Young. Like, these are the types of guys he's faced. He's held up really well. He didn't get drafted, so I don't know if there's a backstory. You know, they're taking a chance that they'll be able to get him back. I mean, it's so hard to gauge these drafts today. You know, you gauge them in 3 or 4 years, and you'll know who really won the draft.
I'll just take that as you're giving the Riders an A+, and we're waiting to see what the BC Lions are all about.
Giving the Riders an A+ for today, for sure.
Yeah, I like that. Anytime we can give them an A+, let's do it. Clayton, jump in with Farhan here.
Well, one guy I had my eye on that the BC Lions ended up taking, Ben Hladek. I mean, this guy, his testing numbers are ridiculous. Is he a gamer as well, Farhan, or is he more of a practice tester kind of guy?
Somewhere in between. You know, his testing is off the charts. He's got NFL-level measurables, but the film doesn't always match up, right? So he, you know, he gets there, he makes enough tackles, but for a guy with those types of skills, he should be killing people, and he doesn't kill people. And he's, sorry, bad analogy, insensitive, my apologies. He should be destroying people or dominating people.
There you go.
And that doesn't happen, right? Now, again, he's a good player. He's in all Canada West the last couple of years. You know, he's got decent tackle numbers, but you take him and you look at Nick Cross, right, who winds up going early, right? And, you know, he goes late in the first round. You know, I look at a player like Nick Cross, who goes to Hamilton with their second pick in the first round, that's the guy. He's the guy that set the UBC tackle record in 2019 playing next to Ben Hladek, you know, who's just so athletic and explosive, but he's not as big necessarily, and he's got an injury history. So if that kid can stay healthy and he transitions to safety, which I would expect him to, and then maybe, you know, that gives you some flexibility with Tunde Adeleke to maybe move him to a Sam spot or something like that and give you that racial versatility. And he's going to be just a dominant player on special teams. You know, he's the playmaker, the UBC linebacker that can do it all. He might not be the tester, but if I'm watching a film, I'm watching Nick Cross do a lot more than I'm watching Ben Hladek. And that's not a shot. I think Ben Hladek can play in this league. Nick Cross, though, is the more productive player in college.
One guy that a lot of people here in Saskatchewan were looking at, Kyle Borsa, the former Regina Ram. Bombers getting him in the fifth round. A lot of Nick Dembski comparisons, but of course some off-the-field stuff, some suspension stuff. Is this a guy who, looking back on it, is going to be one of those fifth-round steals where everyone was like, how do we let this guy fall?
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, at the end of the day, like, a marijuana suspension is not even a thing in today's society anymore, right? So I look at that, and I don't think that's a big thing in his situation, right? So I think that he's going to wind up being an absolute steal. I think the Dembski comparison is really good. There are teams that kind of projected him more at receiver than at running back, but I think he can do both. What an awful class for receivers, right? And some of the good ones went back, but there was nothing, absolutely nothing at the receiver position this year. I mean, Neild, I thought, was a pretty good steal. He goes in the fourth round. He was the only U Sports guy that was worth even talking about, you know, at any point. So, you know, I like him, and for the Argos to get him in the fourth round at 30th overall out of McMaster. But other than that, there was nothing as far as Canadian U Sports receivers go. So, you know, I think Borsa is going to be able to give a team a lot of flexibility. And, you know, the fact that – actually, sorry, he had the supplement.
Tainted supplement, yeah. I was going to make the correction.
He took something over the counter.
It was Nick Cross that had a marijuana suspension after his first year at Regina before transferring to UBC. But, yeah, so, I mean, you know, a supplement, he owned it. He's like, look, I didn't know it was in it. Yeah, I did take it, didn't try to fight it. So I think for him, that's not a red flag at all. I just think it's being a bit of a tweener, maybe not necessarily being a demanded position, but he's gone to a good spot. I think they'll take advantage of him, and we're going to be hearing his name for a while in this league.
I think if the Riders would have taken him in the fourth round, DT, I think the Riders would have had like a perfect draft, but I don't know. Slipping to Winnipeg, classic Winnipeg, like we said before, taking our guys.
They have the
Saskatchewan guy that I really like is Connor Bergloff.
To Ottawa, right? I mean, yeah.
Yeah, who goes to Ottawa, and I like Ottawa's draft. That was a sneaky good draft. You know, first of all, the fact that Mike Benavides was able to out-arm wrestle Paul Lapalisse and get defensive players taken with the first two picks is a stunner, right? That he was able to convince Marcel Desjardins to do that rather than take an offensive lineman. But Deshaun Stevens, there's kind of a back-and-forth thing as to whether or not he's going to be a future because he wants to leave Maine, but he hasn't gotten an FBS offer yet. So, you know, we kind of saw him as a future, but there's a better than 50-50 chance that Ottawa could get him now, and they need the help. Alonzo Adai, I love this guy. Very DB-heavy draft, but this guy can flat-out play, and if he wasn't 5'10", he'd be NFL-bound. He was better at West Virginia than he was at New Hampshire. And then you get Connor Berglov, who was a fast-rising offensive lineman in the days before the draft, and there were a lot of teams that liked him. The only thing that scared some teams was the back injury, right? He's got a bit of a bulging disc in his back, but all the MRIs and all the imaging and the physio reports and everything that have made the rounds to teams lead you to believe he'll be available for training camp, that he'll be fine. So You know, I know that late in the game scared some teams off a little bit. I think that's a steal. I think he's going to be a really good player. So I like those three picks. And then Jake Julian, the kicker, you know, there could be something there as well. So I think Ottawa has had a sneaky good draft.
I like it. Farhan, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. Great work on the draft last night. Can't wait to see what the offseason brings.
All right. Take care, fellas.
He is TSN CFL insider Farhan Lalji with us on the Western Pizza Hotline. This segment of the show brought to us by our friends at Nick Service in Emerald Park, your local Massey Ferguson Challenger Rogator Cleaner and Fendt dealer. Call 781-1077.
Sports ticker, two games in the Canadian division tonight in the NHL. Habs and Sens coming up in a few minutes at 5 p.m. and Jets and Flames at 7:30. And Riders first-round pick Nelson Lacombe joining us in about an hour's time, 6:05, right here on the Sports Cage. Sports ticker for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, where professional service is guaranteed. They'll treat you right. 781-2090.
On the Western Pizza Hotline, Ian McMillan of Odd Shark. What's good, man?
Oh, a lot of stuff, man. It's exciting times, man. Exciting times.
All right. You have an announcement. Do you want to? Can you make it today, or are you holding on to some news? I saw you teasing some on Twitter there.
Yeah, I can make it today. I mean, people close to me know. I'm finishing up at Odd Shark. I'm moving on to a new website called BetSided. It's a new website down in the States. So actually, by the end of the summer, I might be moving down to New York as well. So still staying in the sports betting world, obviously. Bit of a step up for me. Might be most likely going to be living in the Big Apple here in a couple months. So that's exciting. I'm very excited for that. Also nervous. I don't know how long I'll survive in New York. From Halifax to Manhattan, a little bit of a difference.
That will be a slight change. That's so great, man. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
You've been a valuable contributor to us here on the Cage. You've been winning this money left and right. We ran a little bit over time, so we don't have all the time I wanted to say go over some of the stuff from the NFL. So how do you feel? What do you want to do first, baseball or hockey for tonight? What are you eyeballing?
I got a baseball bet for the Blue Jays game I really like. We can tackle that.
Yeah, Jays in Oakland, a 7:40 start. Robbie Ray versus Chris Bassett. The Jays plus 105, Oakland minus 125. The run line available as well. What do you like from the Jays game?
Yeah, so I a little bit of a prop bet, and I don't usually do prop bets in Major League Baseball, but I found this nice little spot that I love. Now, it is kind of going against the Jays in a sense, but they could still win the game and have this hit. So it's Chris Bassett over 5.5 strikeouts. Chris Bassett lately in his last three starts, he's had at least 8 strikeouts. He had 8 strikeouts twice and then a 9 strikeout game. Jays are ranked in the bottom half in the Major League Baseball in strikeout percentage. They strike out 23.7% of their at-bats. So this line of 5.5 strikeouts makes absolutely no sense for me for Chris Bassett, averaging 9.44 Ks per 9 innings this season. That one stuck out to me quite a bit. So it is kind of going against our Blue Jays, unfortunately. But let's hope he gets 6 strikeouts and then the Blue Jays go on to win.
Oh, they won't be your Blue Jays for long if you're living in New York City, man.
Don't worry. I'll be going to all the New York games with my my Blue Jays jerseys on. I'll be going to the hockey games with my Leafs jerseys on. I can't switch to New York teams.
The pinstripes, those are so awful. Those are just atrocious. can't be in favor of that whatsoever. Two games in the Canadian division, Montreal, Ottawa, Winnipeg, Calgary. Montreal, Ottawa gets underway pretty quick here. Anything you like from the NHL sked tonight?
Yeah, I do kind of like Montreal. I think that's a fair price, minus 150. I actually like both favorites here. I like Calgary as well. The thing that does kind of concern me in the Calgary game is Winnipeg has played a lot better on the road so far this season. But, I mean, Winnipeg's issue, and I struggle against betting on them all the time, is that they give up the second most high-danger scoring chances in the NHL, and Connor Hellebuyck has saved them all season. So their games always kind of come down to how good Connor Hellebuyck plays in those games. So I do like the Flames as a slight favorite at home, minus 125. I like the Canadiens as a favorite on the road here in Ottawa tonight. Ottawa's just all out of sorts. They can't put the puck in the net. They can't defend. Their goalies haven't done anything. So I like the two favorites and the two Canadian matchups tonight.
Just if you would, Ian, high danger scoring chances for folks who aren't 100% up on their on the hockey the way that you look at it. What are high danger scoring chances, and why do you look at them when you're approaching wagers?
Yeah, I don't have the exact definition in front of me, but I mean, it basically is the way that it's worded. It's because, I mean, you can get shots in the NHL that are shots from the blue line. There's no screen on the goalie, nobody net, anything like that. It's a pretty easy save for the goalie. High danger scoring chances, look at more of those ones that come in right within the slot, usually in between the two circles down low. Shots that usually have a higher percentage of going in the net as opposed to bad angle shots or shots from the blue line, things like that. So if you look down at if you're giving up a lot of high danger scoring chances, it basically means that you're not doing well on defense, because if you're playing good defense, you're keeping the puck more to the outside. You're not allowing any scoring chances down low. If you're high danger scoring chances, they're getting down low on you. They're getting good scoring opportunities. And more often than not, that's going to result in goals.
Yeah, because you can be good for a stretch, right? Your team, if you're giving up a lot of high danger chances, you could not allow goals for a while. But eventually the dam is going to break, is how that ends up working, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's something I cited, I talked about either last week or 2 weeks ago, the Sharks. Mm-hmm. They're near the top in high danger scoring chances for, near the bottom in high danger scoring chances against. And I believe I said on this show, I at least said on my podcast, that I thought a run of overs was going to happen in Sharks game to close out the season. The over is now hitting six of their last seven games. So that's kind of prove that those high danger scoring metrics are kind of coming to fruition right now.
I love it. I love it. Anything quickly from the PGA that you like? I know you love the PGA.
Yeah, a couple picks for the PGA Tour this week. Probably the best value pick is Joaquin Neiman. This is a little bit of a long course here that they're playing at for the Wells Fargo Championship. Joaquin Neiman at 35-1. And then I got the other long hitter, Bryson DeChambeau as well. He's at 14-1, a little bit shorter odds. Yeah, it's a little bit of a long course. You got to look for guys who are good off the tee, guys who can putt well as well. And then if you're looking for an extremely long shot, I like Ryan Moore. He's historically done very well at Quail Hollow, which is the course that hosts the Wells Fargo Championship. I have him to finish in the top 20 at 5-1, which is, I think, is fantastic value for a top 20 finish for him. If you want to get crazy, he's 125-1 to win the whole thing. So drop a loony on that, you'd win 125 if he ends up $125 if he does end up winning. So yeah, DeChambeau, Joaquin Neiman, the Chilean, and then Ryan Moore are kind of the three guys I'm looking at for PGA this week.
I like it. I like it. Follow him on Twitter at Ian Mac OS. It's IAINMACOS. He is Ian McMillan of Odd Shark. He's with us every Wednesday here on The Cage. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take care. Best of luck to anyone who bets.
Ian McMillan of Odd Shark with us on the Western Pizza Hotline. Don't feel like cooking tonight? No problem. Just order Western Pizza with contactless delivery available. I got a text.
Man.
Connor Bedard is cooking. We will update you from the U18 World Championship. We'll talk more about the CFL draft. And I got real beef with people who don't like the coverage of the CFL draft. That plus Pat Simmons in the 5 o'clock hour on the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM. 5:05 on a Wednesday, the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM, brought to you by the All Things Freight app, connecting freight companies and shippers. Download this free Saskatchewan-made app in the App Store and Google Play. Update from the U18 World Championship semifinals, Canada 4, Sweden 1. And while we were talking to Ian McMillan, Laura Dykin, TSN, texted me. She's hosting the event for TSN. Said, Texas, okay, Bedard, okay, with 5 Ys. I might have to have you take me to a Pats game next year, LOL. Please, Zinger, describe Connor's second goal in this game.
He was taking the puck down the boards, down the wing, was not expecting him to shoot the puck. I got to probably get used to this and think to myself, okay, he's shooting it here. But it was like not a great angle at all. Total snipe show. I couldn't even see if it went top corner, where it went. It was so fast.
Yeah.
But DT, like, literally, that's like an NHL shot. I don't care what anyone says. Like, that's NHL shot. Put him in the NHL tomorrow. Greatest pad of all time. Let's go.
Defenseman in the way. Like, didn't care. Upstairs. It made it 3-1. Another goal now to make it 4-1. Connor was on the ice for.
Yep.
The Sweden coach, Clayton, the Sweden coach was yelling at his team at 4-1. It's like, coach, they beat us 12-1 a week ago. Maybe just relax a little bit. We're doing okay.
Yeah, pump the brakes, bud. Right. Like, where's that coach from Switzerland a few years ago at the World Juniors who was like, yeah, they got nothing but first-rounders over there. Of course we're going to lose. Where's that guy?
Exactly. It's like, yeah, you know what? It hurts to lose, but especially at a level like this one, sometimes the other team is just so much more talented that there is just jack you can do about it. You play hard and you go home. That's what sometimes these tournaments are.
Well, Team Canada has not one, but two generational talents. They got Connor Bedard and they got the OHL kid too.
Shane Wright. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's rough. And that's why, just saying, Connor Bedard, Matvei Michkov, the other guy from the 2023 draft, the star for Russia, who's leading the tournament in scoring, just need them to get past Finland tonight. We get that for a final tomorrow, and we can have a little 2023 draft preview, in which case we can just start blowing things totally out of proportion.
Yes, please.
Tomorrow. That'll be amazing. I always enjoy Clayton. Sometimes I'm annoyed by blowing stuff out of proportion, but when I'm doing it, I love it.
I haven't been this excited for a bunch of 16-year-olds playing hockey since Team Iceland played Team USA at the Junior Goodwill Games back in 1994.
What just happened? I don't know where you went on that one.
Mighty Ducks D2 guys?
Ah,
really?
Oh my.
Seriously?
I'm so sorry.
I'm mad. I might just leave.
I'm really focused on the current Mighty Ducks going on Disney Plus, so I've lost. I don't think I saw D2 or D3, honestly.
I cannot remember. I'm so sorry, Clayton.
The Mighty Ducks, the movie was fantastic. It's just been 27 years since I saw it.
Long time.
You guys have lost all credibility in my mind.
Well, we're
all credibility.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, Clayton.
You should have heard me yesterday on football movies. I was good on those. The guys, Robbie Lowe's liked it. I don't know.
What does that do for me now, DT? What does that do for me now?
Leaves you hanging. Leaves you hanging and wondering who you're on the air with. I'm sorry.
I thought we were going to have some good Mighty Ducks talk here. Like, I love when we get sidetracked and talk about movies. Like, when we talked about Shane Falco one time for like 5 minutes and how he choked in the Sugar Bowl. No Mighty Ducks talk. I'm not mad, boys. I'm just disappointed.
Just disappointed. Are you watching the series on Disney Plus, the new Mighty Ducks?
No one's watching the new Mighty Ducks. Come on. I mean, the only reason people might be watching it is because the Letterkenny guy is on it.
He's such a bad actor. Oh, my God. He's the coach of the new Mighty Ducks. And for folks who haven't seen it, the Ducks are now kind of like the evil empire. They've become too big for their britches. Oh. And it's too many rich parents and stuff like that. The Letterkenny guy, not a great actor. They put him in everything.
He's hilarious, though. Dylan Playfair is a funny guy.
Oh, he's funny, but I don't.
Worse than Keanu Reeves?
Oh, Keanu Reeves has that. Just, he has the thing. He has the it factor, maybe more than anybody on earth. That you just, John Wick? Oh, this is terrible acting, but oh man, I can't stop watching this stylized nonsense. This is fantastic. The new Mighty Ducks, I think you got to jump on board. Like, Friday nights, you get Disney Plus, you watch Big Shot, where John Stamos goes from like Kentucky to coach a girls' basketball team at some rich school in California, and then you watch The Mighty Ducks featuring that actress from the Gilmore Girls. And then Emilio Estevez, who looks more and more like Martin Sheen every day. Oh my God, the resemblance is now uncanny.
I'm living in a world where people would rather watch the new Mighty Ducks than the old Mighty Ducks, and a world where people think Keanu Reeves isn't a good actor. What is going on?
I once saw a Walk in the Clouds, and I went, no, we're not doing this. Or Lake House, or the Mailbox one, whatever the hell that was. Come on. Come on. No,
he was good in Hardball. Remember Hardball?
Hardball, when he coaches the Cucumbas, and he's got G-Baby on there. It's like the saddest movie of all time. But man, his acting chops in that movie, great stuff.
There's some sports movies I need to catch up on.
You haven't seen Hardball?
Hardball, no. The Replacements.
Love it when you call me big.
No.
Papa.
North Dallas 40, no. I know.
Hardball is a great movie.
Oh, yeah.
Long story short, Keanu Reeves, he's a little league baseball coach. He's doing it to make some money because he's in some debt. And he coaches this little league team in the hood in Chicago. And
best player goes to the Cubs because he had an arm surgery. Is that the move? No,
but they might go to a Cubs game. That's
That's Sammy Sosa out there. That's Sammy Sosa.
Sammy!
See?
Me and Clayton know what's up.
Oh, yeah. Great flick.
Hey, no reason you guys can't have your moment and I can just watch. That's no problem. I got no problem with you guys celebrating a great sports movie. That's fun. That works for me. The CFL draft. It was pretty entertaining. I enjoyed it. I really, Clayton, when I think of the class that the Riders got out of this, I kind of can't believe that based on the chatter about these guys that they all ended up on the same team. Terrell Janna at 17 is not something I expected to see. They get the top wide receiver from the draft. They get the top Canadian, top defensive back from the draft. Man, everything came up O'Day yesterday.
This Bruno LaBelle kid, too, that they picked up in the third round. Watch him. He was very good on a very good Cincinnati football team. Good players on good teams. That's usually a very good thing. Yeah. I want to stop talking now because I know you're going to go off on the CFL haters, and I really, really like it when you do that.
I was going to ask you a quick follow-up on LaBelle. Like, we talked about 6'4", 250, and you don't see guys that size playing offense in the CFL. Do you feel like that's something the CFL could use when you watch the game, like bigger receivers? Jake Burt goes number one overall. That's a big cat there as well. Do you feel like that's something the CFL could use and utilize?
Do you remember Greg Carr played for the Bombers?
He was very tall, but yeah. he wasn't real thick though.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, with that big of an end zone,
yeah,
you can
okay
just get a tall, big, physical guy, throw it to the corner, throw it up and let him jump for it. With that big of an end zone, why don't teams do that more often? Like, get your tallest guy, throw it to the back, maybe not the corner, just the back of the end zone, and just let your guy jump up. The DBs in the CFL are pretty small now.
Yep.
Like, just throw it to your big physical guys in the back of the end zone. It's such an underutilized weapon.
In the NFL, they've studied that, and throwing fade routes in the end zone, there are passes that they end up being completed something like 30 or 35% of the time. So in the NFL, it's not a real high productive play. I don't know anybody who studied it in the CFL, but with that big end zone, you give a guy a two-way go in which he can go inside or outside, whatever he reads. I really like the thought of it more in the CFL than in the NFL.
Exactly. Blows yeah my mind that more teams don't take advantage of the full end zone in the CFL. Like, it's huge, guys. It's huge. Yeah. It's a big part of the Canadian game. Like, use it.
Oh, a well-thrown corner route? Just, come on, undefendable. Undefendable.
The only thing I did well in my playing is throw in the old corner.
Love it. I love it. I love it. It's 5:14. As Clayton suggested, I have beef with some folks who did not enjoy the CFL draft coverage. One of them was on Twitter and put out 16 tweets on it. It was an account called Northwest Football Report. I don't know who runs it. I have no particular beef with them. I just stridently disagree with everything they tweeted. And then, oh, by the way, not communicated well is 16 tweets that are unthreaded, by the way. So they come out in improper order. And I got to run through it. You want to talk about not communicated well? It was this tweet thread. There are some concerns. I want to address them because I think people beat on the CFL and the TSN just a little too much. We'll do that next on The Cage.
Afternoon Rush. Canada West has approved new formats for the 2021-22 sports seasons. Rams and Huskies football will play 6 games. Hockey will play 20 with extra games within geographic lines. Basketball and volleyball teams will play in a Saskatchewan-Manitoba division. And the BC Lions signed 2020 first overall pick Jordan Williams to his entry contract. The 26-year-old linebacker is expected to start for the Lions this season. And an update from the U18 World semifinal, Canada versus Sweden. Canada now with a 5-1 lead with 6:33 remaining in the third period. It's over.
Over. Russia and Finland in the late game. Just want to see the Canada-Russia final. CFL draft yesterday, TSN, couple hours of coverage on there. Gosh, it was covered by 3 Down Nation as well. We had coverage on 620CKRM on the website at 620CKRM.com. So I wake up today and there's just crabbing about, oh, CFL doesn't care about the draft. CFL, how can the CFL not be showing this? The one that I got was from, it was an account called the Northwest Football Report, which appears to do really good coverage in the Pacific Northwest of the U.S. and British Columbia, in that area. And it was 16 tweets about the CFL needs to do better on the draft. So I just wanted to address some of the problems. One of the complaints was, why isn't the CFL draft on a Saturday or a Sunday? When the event could be marketed to a prime viewing audience. Zinger, what day does the NFL draft start?
Thursday.
Thursday night is the NFL draft. 10 million people watched that. You know what's on Saturday? The NFL does this. Thursday night draft, Friday night draft, Saturday when we would have to compete with third round golf, baseball, stuff like that. It's rounds 4 to 7. You put the draft in midweek so people can watch it because there's too much competition. So that one, malarkey. Malarkey. Said easier to follow the XFL regional draft than the CFL draft. And I thought, you're just not trying then. You're just not trying. It's on TV for 2 hours. You have Rod Smith and three analysts talking about the draft. The draft tracker always going at CFL.ca. If you can't follow it, you're just not trying. Or your Twitter feed is littered with a bunch of other stuff that your own stuff. Let the people know was one of the criticisms from Northwest Football Report. Hey, the Alouettes own Lestage's rights. So what are his options? Could he make the Seahawks? If not, his rights revert to Montreal. Were you not watching? Farhan Lalji say, hey, this guy's got a $20,000 bonus. Boop, 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 boop. These things are there if you go and look for them. Here's Dwayne Ford. Rod Smith throws it to commissioner. Commissioner announces the pick. Dwayne Ford breaks it down. Farhan Lalji drops in with a little more breakdown and tells you the stuff behind the scenes. Craig Dickinson says this about the guy. Brock Sunderland loves him because he's big and he's fast and he crushed it at the NCAA level. He does have a $15,000 bonus from the San Francisco 49ers. But he's kind of perceived as a fringe one. He'd be perfect, and that's a everything you're looking for in the CFL draft is there over 2 hours. You want inside scoop on how he's going to be in Seattle? Okay, well, here you go. Here's Farhan giving you his best take. Here's Davis Sanchez now dropping in to talk about what he saw on film, talk about where he fits on the roster. I don't really understand what people are beefing about. Northwest Football Report says, what are the Seahawks' needs? Is he a better fit for Seattle or Montreal? And I don't even know if I can answer that question because when you start to think about it, it's such a dumb question.
What does that even mean?
Thank you. Well, here's the thing. Is he a better fit in Seattle or Montreal? Well, Montreal, because if Seattle is thinking about him, he might be a great CFL player. But... one, sir, this is a Wendy's. It's the CFL draft. It's not the NFL draft. They're going to talk about Seattle's needs. Two, I dare you to try to project what an undrafted free agent is going to do in an NFL camp in a year in which we're dealing with a pandemic. What are you doing? What is that? To Clayton, to your point, what does that even mean? Does he fit better with Seattle or Montreal?
Stupidest question. Like, oh yeah, is he gonna fit better on a CFL team or an NFL team? I don't know. Where do we start? Like,
yeah,
two completely different games. Like, I don't know. This guy, like, the one thing that bothered me the most about this guy, like, maybe I understood wrong, but he didn't watch TSN, did he? Like, wasn't he following along on CFL.ca?
He must have been. He must not have been watching on he or she, whoever runs the account, must not have been watching on TSN because, as I tweeted out, if you watched on TSN, you had a lot of the stuff already answered for you.
So this guy was mad at the draft coverage, and he didn't even watch the actual draft. He watched the tracker. Like, that's like watching on MLB.com, like, the baseball tracker, the pitch-by-pitch tracker, and being mad because, oh, it wasn't as good as the televised game.
Yeah.
Oh, the tracker should be as good as it. Are you kidding? It's the tracker. It just shows you it's... Oh,
yeah.
This guy, man, like, the CFL did great. Like, its panel was great. It had Dwayne Ford. It had the legend, right? It had the insider, like, the Schefter, if you will, the Farhan Lalji, and it had the recent superstar, Davis Sanchez, with the Silver Fox... Gord Miller, right? It had everything. Like, they did a great job. And this guy coming in, like, I think the CFL is dealing with something I'm calling the Nickelback syndrome, because everyone loves to hate on Nickelback because it's the cool thing to do, right? Oh yeah, Nickelback sucks. Nickelback sucks. My friend says Nickelback's bad, so I think it's bad. No, like, Nickelback, are they the best band? Absolutely not. Do they deserve some flack for having some pretty bad lyrics? Absolutely. There are three songs when they come on. Do you sing along? Oh, absolutely. Yep. Don't lie. When This Afternoon comes on, or How You Remind Me, you're singing along. And right now, the CFL, it's kind of like Nickelback right now. People like to hate on it because it's kind of the trendy thing to do, when really they're not giving it a fair chance. Like, you just hate on Nickelback just because. Give it a shot. Listen to some of their songs.
Yeah, I'm with you on all of that. One of the other critiques was coverage was so scattershot throughout the day, it was incredibly hard to follow the order, the picks, etc. Again, you're just not trying. You know what you actually have to do in some cases is try. You have to try to follow a game. It's not just going to be fed directly into your brain, right? There was coverage literally all day on CFL.ca. Look, here's a million pieces. Hey, look at our best pieces about the CFL draft. Here's TSN putting out multiple video hits of Farhan and Dave Naylor and guys talking about the draft. And then, oh, once the draft started, oh, here's 9 team accounts also tweeting out. And here's the CFL on social media. And oh, by the way, again, 2 hours on TV. And oh, if you want to know who's picked, hey, take the draft tracker and do what I did. Google the guys when you get picked. Who is this guy from Guelph the Riders took? Well, I'm going to Google it and find out. Where do I think he might fit? Where do I think he might play? What's been written about him before? You have to try. You have to at least try. And if you're not willing to try, if you're not willing to look where it's just laid out for you, you can't be helped. And that is not the fault of the CFL, and that is not the fault of TSN.
I think they could have shown one more round. I think they should have gone in the third round. I think they could have done that. I think there was enough talent on the board where, I know they've always done 2 rounds, but show 3, okay? You got a lot of channels. You got a lot of time. Come on, show the 3 rounds. I don't need to see the fifth and the sixth round, but maybe show the 3rd and 4th. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, I respect their coverage. Again, people like to poo-poo on the CFL just because. I don't like that, you know? Like, sure, there's a lot of improvement to do with the CFL, but you have to give credit when they're doing a good job as well. It just can't be a one-sided fight.
Yeah, because there's no level to which it would have been satisfactory for some people. Well, you showed all 6 rounds, but why didn't you do a team-by-team breakdown for the next 2 hours? Well, at some point, the people who work here need to go home. Like,
there can always be more, right? Why didn't you have a feature on every single player? I don't know. Like, sure, yeah. The NFL does the awesome features and everything like that, and it's great. It's, you know, it melts your heart and all that stuff. We're not the NFL. The CFL isn't the NFL, and it sucks because we always get compared to the NFL. And like, that's a well-oiled machine they got going on there, and the CFL is still working on it. So they did some good things, and you can always be better. No one's perfect. You can always be better.
Well, and the NFL, more cameras in homes of players. One, that'd be fantastic. Two, you need to guarantee them they're at home. Three, the NFL does that, but I would wager that's a cost sharing between the league itself and ESPN, and you can have a technician go and set up a camera. Try to get somebody. Oh, hey, by the way, can you have your family set up on this Zoom call and connect it to our board in high-tech fashion? Oh, your mom isn't real good with that. Your dad doesn't really know how that works. Oh, because they're not in television. They're not television professionals. Like, come on. There's a camera in Jake Burt's house. You got to celebrate with that. There can always, every broadcast could have more. But you know what? 2 hours of the premier CFL analysts talking about CFL is pretty good.
Again, like, when does it end, right? How come the second overall pick, Nelson Lacombo, didn't give me a personalized message after he got drafted?
Yeah.
If the CFL really cared about its fans, it would have thousands and thousands of personalized messages to its fans.
Yeah. All I kind of took away from Northwest Football Report was, it seems like you were looking for general CFL draft coverage. And you know what we have here? We were all over the Riders. We were specific Rider coverage. If you want to know about the Riders, you come here to 620 CKRM. You listen to the Sports Cage. You follow us on social media. The Riders were doing a great job putting out their own content. Hey, here's the players we drafted. Look at this. This is fantastic. Boop ba doop. You have to try. You have to at least try. And in all of these complaints, you want more? Sure. But if you're not willing to look for what's actually out there, I'm going to have zero sympathy for you. TSN did a great job of the draft. It'll be better when they can all be back in studio and there's not awkward pauses as they go from one DeGiro to the next DeGiro to the guy in studio. Fine. But that's a pandemic. That's where we're at right now. The province they work in is locked down. let's all just get off the backs and appreciate what we got. The Riders crushing the draft live on TV. Fantastic. 529. We're going to break on the other side. We will talk with Pat Simmons back in the curling world. He's chasing a spot at the Olympics, and we are very excited to have him back after a four-year retirement. This segment of the show brought to you by Kevin's Marine. Make the most of summer with a boat or pontoon from Kevin's Marine. Kevin'sMarine.com. Five 31 on a Wednesday. You miss any of the show? Get the Sports Cage on demand for the Canadian Brew House. Lockdown doesn't mean you have to go without the grub from the CBH. Their full menu available for pickup or delivery. On the Western Pizza Hotline, two-time Brier champion Pat Simmons is with us. How are you, sir?
Hey, good. You?
I am doing all right, but I feel like, though, when I get to retirement, I'm just going to stop working. But you're coming back. You're making the way back in.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I ever really officially announced retirement. I kind of been playing an event or two year in, year out, but you know what? It was a kind of a bit of a surprise call or whatnot. Certainly, this isn't going to be a full season either by any means, but kind of I look at it as a couple month kind of opportunity and little work term, if you will, looking forward to it.
Tell me how it all came together that you're joining up with a rink to chase a spot at the 2022 Olympics.
Yeah, well, Kyle and Colton actually I played with 4 years ago, I think they ran into a situation where their skip. Went to his separate way and we're in need of someone, obviously. I don't know. You'd have to ask him kind of the ins and outs and details of it and whatnot, but long story short, kind of, I got a call that way just kind of went from there. I think it's kind of good for me for a couple of reasons. I like the opportunity for a few reasons. Number one, that it's not a huge commitment. There's going to be obviously some more off-season work now that's got to be done and things of that nature, which is all good. But helping old pals out in a bit of a situation, I think is good. I had a lot of fun the year I played with them, and the utmost respect for them, and so I'm looking forward to renewing those acquaintances. And the other thing, the other big factor was just gaining or regaining, I guess, a little bit of player's perspective with respect to kind of what I'm doing with Curl Sask. So
right.
That's huge as well. And that's kind of why I've tried to play, an event or two. And this will be great as well, because it's going to be, high level as well. And just staying in touch. It's pretty easy to kind of lose that player's perspective when you're watching people on TV make everything, and you sit back and think, geez, that is easy, when it's nice to see the reality of it and how hard it can be at times as well, for sure. So
yeah, your role, you're the high performance director for Curl Sask, yes?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so now you get to be fully immersed in it. How much in advance, Olympic qualifying in curling is confusing to me as an outsider. How many events will you have to play for a shot to get to, gosh, the event where we'll decide who goes to the Olympics for Canada?
Yeah, well, they were qualified for the pre-trial, so basically that's just the step before. So there'll be, I don't think they even know Curling Canada yet how many teams will be in that, but they're definitely on, or we, I guess now, are definitely on the short list for that. So basically one to qualify, a couple teams for the final trials. I think there's one other play-in event, as well that a few of the top teams get to play in with a qualifier to maybe avoid the pre-trials. So that's kind of the setup, if you will, that way. So yeah, basically just one to the trials, and then it's the teams in the trials to go to the Olympics. So
I like it. He is Pat Simmons. He is skipping a rink out of Winnipeg Beach, Manitoba, representing Manitoba. Now I feel like Saskatchewan and then Alberta, but Manitoba, that one kind of hurts. That one hurts a little bit as a fan.
Well, yeah, Olympic stuff, really, there's no provincial boundaries. I won't be playing in playdowns with them, so we won't be. They'll have we've got a kind of a fifth and a young gentleman that's going to be stepping in kind of whenever, whether it's end of October or hopefully, you know, mid December or whatever. But yeah, he'll be stepping in from there and you know, taking them through the playdown process and so on and so forth. So yeah, we're kind of just representing. They're from there, I'm from here, and we're just representing our team.
Yeah,
you know, going forward for that for sure.
I'm curious to ask curlers this question all the time, Pat. You've been to the Brier, you've been to the Worlds, Olympic qualifiers as well. Are they different? Do they feel different to be in them, or in the end, is a Bonspiel a Bonspiel at that level?
Yeah, it is kind of what you make. A good question. They do definitely do feel different. A lot of the feel, though, is just the atmosphere. You know, Brier Scotties, those type of events, I guess I can speak from the Brier standpoint, but totally different atmosphere than a trials or a pre-trials or something along those lines. You know, it's pretty quiet and serious and whatnot, typically with Olympic qualifying events. So totally different that way. As far as the, you know, as far as the on-ice stuff, I mean, it's, you know, Briars nowadays and this are pretty similar. I mean, it's just a bunch of good teams, right? So you got to be playing really, really well. And you kind of make it what it is with that. You just got to, you know, kind of go out there and try and take care of your business and make a whole bunch of curling shots and all the way down the lineup, basically to have a chance at these things, obviously. So that'll be our challenge. I mean, really, really short period of time. You know, I'll only be with the guys for maybe, you know, a couple of events before the actual pre-trials. So things have to happen in a hurry that way. But yeah. There is that familiarity from a number of years ago, which obviously will help speed things up for us for sure.
I'm curious about something you said there, and not to say that the Brier isn't serious, but you said the Olympic trials are they're more serious. That feeling is palpable when you're in an Olympic trials?
Fan standpoint, it is for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, totally, totally different atmosphere playing in front of those crowds. Completely, completely different. So yeah, in that sense, it is. You know, from a player standpoint, I mean, it's a yearly versus every 4 years. But I think, you know, the similarity there is, you know, the Brier and Scotties and similar with the Olympic stuff. I mean, those are events teams really want to win and try and peak for. And again, whether it's one or four, every 4 years, they're definitely similar in that sense for sure.
I love the thought of you getting back into it. You're a guy who's like a hair younger than I am. And I thought, oh yeah, you know what? Even at our age, we can compete. It makes me feel better about myself. Of course, then I'm going to go home and lay on the couch tonight. So, you know,
feel too bad. I pulled out the old exercise routine and could barely walk the next day.
Oh, no.
So baby steps for sure. But you know what? Looking forward to the challenge. And like I say, this is going to be a win-win-win situation. Obviously, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, definitely some challenges. And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit nervous. But I think those are all good things too. It should be a neat challenge for sure.
I love it. Clayton Croker, jump in with Pat before we let him go.
Yeah, Pat, one quick question. When you look at all the talent in Canada right now, I mean, you got these young guns like Dunstone and Botcher coming up, mixed with all these veteran guys. Like, is this the best Canadian curling has ever been across the board? And how good is it going to be in 10 years when these young guns become these polished veterans?
Yeah, for sure. It's I would say it's the most even it's been in a long time. You know, I think, you know, the bar has been set high for many years, and we've always had, you know, a team or two that have really pushed those limits, basically. I would say, though, now there's a lot more teams that are kind of right at that top bar, if you will, right? It's a little more even for sure than I know some of the, you know, half decades that I kind of went through playing for sure. So it makes it interesting, you know, and you still have kind of those, you know, the Cooies and the Gooshoes and whatnot that are always there at the end. But now, you know, like Brendan's Botcher's team has had a great 3-4 years and Matt and the boys are right there as well, and there's a bunch of other teams too, right, that can compete and beat you on any given day as well. So yeah, it's interesting. It's definitely a fun time, you know, for that, yeah, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, somebody's going to push the bar a little higher, and then everyone else will be kind of playing chase to them, and you know, so on and so forth as it goes.
As someone who has a huge man crush on Matt Dunstone, DT, I wish it wasn't as even as it is, because I want to see the guy win. Like, if this was 15 years ago, he'd be getting wins left and right. But, I mean, Pat's exactly right. It's so even now. There are so many good teams.
Well, if it's 15 years ago, you might run into Randy Ferbey's rink and go, okay, I don't know what we do here, because Randy Ferbey.
He's got it. Yeah, he's fine.
That's other.
There's always, you know what, my experience is there's always someone. It doesn't, you know, it's... Even when you are the team kind of on the top of the stack, there's always a worry. There's always the next worry, and there's always, you know, you got to keep moving forward for sure, which a team like Matt's has done exceptionally well the last few years, and they're continuing in that direction, which is obviously great to see for sure.
Awesome. Pat, thank you so much. Appreciate you giving us the time today. Best of luck. We will be following you're back in the Olympic qualifiers. It's going to be great to see. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
He is Pat Simmons, back chasing a spot at the 2022 Olympics, also the high performance director for Curl Sask, one of Moose Jaw's finest, taking care of curlers in our province, joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline. I think the way he described it, Clayton, is right on it. It's so even now. There are so many teams that are, you would think, okay, they could easily be the best team in the world right now. Back in the early part of this century, Randy Ferbey ran the show, right? And then all of a sudden, that one tournament, they were pipped by Mark Dacey in this Nova Scotia rink, but then Ferbey and company get it back, and you think, these guys might be the greatest team we ever saw. And then, okay, Kevin Martin is now back into the Breyer ecosystem. And then there was a time where, well, maybe Brad Jacobs is going to take over. But now, I mean, you mentioned Botcher, Gushu, and everybody. Dunstone is third 2 years in a row, two Breyers in a row. They could be one of the best handful of rinks. And any one of those going into a Breyer can win it. And on the women's side, Jennifer Jones ran the country for so long. But now, man, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's fantastic right now. To be a curling,
I mean, you got Holman and Anderson who are just going back and forth. That's going to be an epic rivalry for years to come. And it's just awesome watching the Breyer now, because these Canadian teams, it's so even. There are seven teams that could easily win the Breyer, and you'd be like, yep, they deserve it. It's not like an upset or anything like that. It'd be like, oh yeah, they totally deserve it. Man, I love watching curling now. 10 years ago, it was always because, you know, Ferbey won or Gushu won, whatever. It was like, okay, it was kind of boring. Now, with all the competition in curling, it's great. Like, just watching the last couple ends of a curling match now, it's just, you're on the edge of your seat. You couldn't say that at like 10, 20 years ago.
And there are folks for whom the Chicago Bulls or the Golden State Warriors recently aren't for everybody's tastes, right? Because, this one team's going to win it all the time, and it's going to be awful. The Ferbey time, we just knew it was going to be Ferbey. I honestly love both of those times in the sports that I love, because in curling, for example, you have these rinks that just push it higher. They set the bar higher. Ferbey wins four times in 5 years. On the women's side, Jennifer Jones just was there every single year, and they just keep pushing the bar higher. And then, as you see, you talked about how curling's come along in the last little while. Teams rise up to meet that, and then the game itself gets pushed higher. And then there are four or five that can win it at any time, and you go, oh, man, I mean, maybe even if you didn't like that time where one team ran the show, they changed the game for everybody else, and as fans, we're better off for it, in my mind.
Exactly. Sometimes it leads to maybe a few boring matches because so good that they don't miss. I mean, that was a problem at the Breyer, especially early on when teams were still kind of feeling each other out and getting used to the whole situation. Each game, the first five ends, it was like, another blank. Great. You know, because they're so good.
Yeah.
Like, that's almost a problem now that they're almost so even and so good. It sometimes leads to boring matches. But it also leads to like these epic matches and these epic shots. I mean, that Kirk Meyer shot we saw from the Briar this year, that there's been so many good shots and so much good talent in this country right now.
Yeah, we're in a great spot. And yeah, I really liked Pat's answer. I mean, to think from a sport perspective, the Briar playdowns to the Briar to the Worlds to the Olympic trials, they're all the same game, right? It's all 10 ends and 8 rocks and la la la. But I mean, once every 4 years, oh, now everybody's taking it seriously because they talk about we're playing in 4 year cycles. We're playing for an Olympic cycle, and this is what we as elite athletes on the men's and women's side have all been gearing up for. So there's a little bit of there's a different feel when it gets to the Olympic trials. And it's just great. I mean, it's fantastic. Pat was what, on the 14 and 15 Briar winning teams. Great to have one of Saskatchewan's finest back into the ecosystem and chasing the Olympic dream.
Yeah, exactly. It's always good talking to him. It was a little surprise. I had no idea he was going to be on the show until I looked at the notes today. And I'm like, what? No way. Pat Simmons, let's go.
Let's go. Exactly. Hey, if we can talk curling, I'm in.
Exactly. Anytime, any place. We're the Zach Wilson of curling. Any team, anytime, any place.
There you go.
Get the headband for curling.
I love it. It is 5:47. We'll talk a little more. I don't even know. Zinger. Maybe Zinger will tell me during the break. Maybe it's hockey. We'll put a wrap on the Canada game at the under 18s because I believe Connor Bedard is good at hockey.
So
it's confirmed. 5:47. Nelson Lacombo, the Riders' number 2 overall pick at 6:05 on the Cage.
Sports Ticker, 2 games in the Canadian division tonight. Habs and Sens are underway. I'll get the score in a second. And Jets and Flames are dropping a puck at 7:30. And the New York Rangers, they fire team president John Davidson and GM Jeff Gorman. This comes a day after the Rangers released a statement calling for the NHL's head of player safety to be fired. And then the Rangers go on to say the move is unrelated to that. It's unrelated. Malarkey. And, Jays have announced they'll move their home games to Buffalo as of June 1st. They had been playing in Dunedin. Jays take on the A's at 7:40 tonight. Imagine going from Florida to Buffalo. Sad. And the Riders' first-round pick, Nelson Lacombo, is joining us in a few minutes here at 6:05 right here on the Sports Cage. Sports Sticker for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, where professional service is guaranteed. They'll treat you right. 781-2090.
We need to talk about the Rangers firing John Davidson and the GM. If you missed the statement yesterday, it was after Tom Wilson. It looks like he drags Artemi Panarin down by the hair. Panarin out for the rest of the season. The Rangers absolutely lit Tom Wilson and the NHL on fire. This is the part. Wilson's dangerous and reckless actions caused an injury to Artemi Panarin that will prevent him from playing again this season, the Rangers statement goes. We view this as a dereliction of duty by NHL head of player safety George Parros and believe he is unfit to continue in his current role.
Unfit.
They lit him on fire yesterday, and we thought, oh, I wonder what the NHL is going to do. The Rangers, according to Darren Dreger, deny that this had anything, firing John Davidson and his GM, have anything to do with the statement yesterday. That, on its face, is malarkey. Davidson, Davidson has been the president for just over 2 years. The Rangers have, in that time, I don't know, just accumulated talent in the draft. They had the first overall pick, Alexis Lafreniere. They got a little better than last year. They have Artemi Panarin. They have really nice talent. And, oh, no, but he's got to go. He's got to be fired. We're getting too many skilled players and not enough gritty players was an explanation I saw that came out from the club. Clayton, come on, man. Come on, man.
Are you seeing what's going on in this Rangers Capitals game right now?
I saw a line brawl to start the whole thing. What else? What's going on?
6 fights in the first 4 minutes. There are more people in the Capitals penalty box than there are on the bench right now. Like, everyone's fighting. Literally everyone is fighting. And everyone is saying, like, this is your fault, NHL. You have no one to blame but yourself because you basically gave Tom Wilson a parking ticket for trying to smash his head on the ice. Now, I agree that that stuff happens all the time, and the people who are calling for Wilson to be suspended for the year are ridiculous. Give him a game, though. You got to give him one game, right?
Give him a game for the stuff he did to, forgive me the name of the guy.
There's been so many.
Who he shoved to the ground and punched in the face.
Exactly.
The NHL can only, I mean, what I took from this yesterday was the NHL can only be saying that he didn't pull Panarin by the hair. Because if you hair pull a guy to the ground, to me, you're automatic. You have to automatically be suspended. Because that is just a chicken crap move if you're doing that.
Exactly. It's a coward move.
Yeah.
And again, it's kind of dangerous too.
Biggest
the whole
point, yeah.
Tom Wilson should be gone from the league thing, I don't agree with that. I mean, this is just a part of hockey. Guys sign up to play hockey. They know it's going to be rough. They know there's going to be some of these shenanigans happening. That being said, it doesn't mean that you can just let dangerous things go, right? Like with his history, you got to give him a game when he does stupid things like this.
What? He was suspended for 20 games before. He was suspended for 7 games in the month of March. Suspended for 7 games. And I don't understand. To me, what I saw there was absolutely suspendable. And then you put Tom Wilson on top of that and you go, okay, he needs to be gone for a while. And I don't care that the playoffs are coming because, I mean, as much as the NHL is going to love that they get a bunch of social media play for 6 fights in a packed penalty box for the Washington Capitals. They're going to love that. But you know what? It does. None of this helps the game. Please give me a single reason why Tom Wilson needs to pull Artemi Panarin's hair and how that's good for the NHL. We can differ on is fighting good or not. I say no. Other people will say yes. Fine. But tell me why Tom Wilson needs to be able to pull guys by the hair and get a fine equivalent to 1 minute of ice time. That's crap.
I think it's totally fine for that kind of stuff to happen if you don't have a history. Like, again, it's greasy, it's cowardly, but if you're going to do it, you don't have a history, hey, part of the game. But if you're Tom Wilson and yeah. your history resume is like 10 pages, double-sided, have you ever heard of the don't two for being stupid game? DT?
No.
Two for being stupid.
No, what's...
No, so like whenever you're with your buddies and your friend says something stupid or they get something wrong, you say two for being stupid and you punch him in the arm twice. Tom Wilson should just have a one for being stupid rule. So whenever he does something stupid like this, he gets a game. That way, these shenanigans that are happening at MSG right now wouldn't happen. He gets suspended. He you know, he serves his time. One for being stupid.
Yeah. I could go for that. They take it to the next level where if a guy says something stupid, you pull him by the hair and slam him into the ground. Then we could really ramp this game up. I like it. Hey, here's the thing. I saw a clip of the puck drop in that Rangers Capitals game. And oh hey, all the whole forward line fights the whole other forward line. And I'm like, what does that do for anybody? What value is that? Well, I'm asserting my toughness. Well, that argument doesn't work because everybody's fighting everybody and there's zero momentum to be won. That one does nothing, and that part it, that's the first part I need out of hockey is these four show fights because no one believes you're tough because you guys decided before the game that you're going to rumble. The Jets and Sharks are going to rumble because it's friggin' West Side Story here. Come on. Come on.
But sometimes a player goes into the stands and beats someone up with a shoe. So take the good with the bad.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I'm all for shoe beatings. I'm all for Ty Cobb goes up and beats a guy who has no hands. And we need those stories in the lore of our sports. To be fair, we are a little richer for having those stories available. Zinger, would you beat up a man with no hands?
No.
Well, yeah, you couldn't hit the ball. You couldn't hit 300 a bunch of time. Ty Cobb.
And he would spike people when he slides in at second base and stomp on people, apparently. The tales are just outrageous with that man.
What?
I love him.
Did you ever see the Cobb movie that Tommy Lee Jones
yep.
did?
Yeah.
Clayton, did you see Cobb, the movie Tommy Lee Jones did?
No.
Oh, okay. Now I'm judging you a little bit. It was, I've seen it once and it's got the classic story where Robert Wool is doing an interview with old Ty Cobb. Oh, Mr. Cobb, what do you think you would hit in the major leagues these days? He's like, oh, I don't know, 240, whatever it is. He said, 240? You hit 400 a bunch of times. Why do you think you'd only hit 240? And he goes, because I'm 72 bleeping years old.
I remember that.
Tommy Lee Jones at his peak was an incredible actor. He did such a great job in that movie, Cobb. That movie's got to be 25 years old now, if I had to look. I kind of want to go back and see it, but... Yeah, Ty Cobb, I mean, now we look back and go, horribly racist, beat up a man with no hands. The stories are pretty...
1994, DT.
So 27 years old. Gosh, that was a while back. Tom Wilson needed to be suspended. The NHL, if they get any backlash from this, the Rangers firing their president and GM. These are absolutely connected, Clayton, in my mind. What about you?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. But I'm mad at you for getting mad at me because I haven't seen Cobb. You're going to judge me for not seeing Cobb? You haven't seen Mighty Ducks D2, man. Look in the mirror.
I had to go tit for tat, and your tit is bigger than my tat, but it's still Mighty Ducks and the whole Mighty Ducks franchise, way more important in the movie ecosystem than the movie Cobb. Let's just say that for sure. My failing is bigger than yours.
Yeah.
We can agree on that, but you got to watch it on Disney Plus. I'm just saying, Emilio Estevez looks just like Martin Sheen now. It's incredible.
You're butchering his name, but that's okay.
Clayton Croker, mornings 96.3 Cruise FM. He does not butcher names on his show. That's a Sports Cage original right here. Thanks, brother.
Hammered one of those 7-Eleven 5-cent candy cones during the show today too, boys. It was a good one.
Oh, I love it.
See you, man.
5:59 news is next on the other side. The Riders number 2 overall pick, Nelson Lacombo, inside the cage. On a Wednesday, the Sports Cage brought to you by the All Things Freight app, connecting freight companies and shippers. Download the free Saskatchewan-made app in the App Store and on Google Play. At the World Under-18s, Canada led 4-1 with 16 minutes to go. The Swedish coach called his team over to give them a rousing speech during a timeout to get them in line. They shipped 4 more goals and lost 8-1 because there was nothing that was going to change that whatsoever. Let's go to the Western Pizza Hotline and welcome in the President's Trophy winner from 2019, the number 2 overall pick in the 2021 draft of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Nelson Lacombo. Nelson, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. We here at the Rose Street Warriors Club, we didn't get a chance to take you in the draft because Saskatchewan snapped you up, but we do wish you the best of luck in your CFL career.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Our draft interview didn't go great. Please, if you would, tell me what draft night was like for you. Where were you? How were you taking it in? Just give us a sense of what the night was for you.
Yeah, it was very exciting. I was back home in Abbotsford with the family and I had a few friends over. We all came together, had some food and watched it on TV, on TSN. So I didn't have to wait too long to get picked up, so that was great. And, very excited to be part of the Rough Riders.
I've had in my life those moments that when I was experiencing them, they were in slow motion. I'm like, I can't process this yet. What was it like when the commissioner started saying Nelson Lacombo?
To tell you the truth, I don't even know how to describe the feeling. Even when I woke up this morning, I was still a little bit in shock. But it was definitely a very, very exciting time. My phone was blowing up. It was just a lot. So I'm just, excited right now. And, I'm looking forward to what's to come next.
When I think of someone in your position, someone who's taken number 2 in the draft, I can just think of it must be a real nice affirmation of all of the work that you've put in over these years so far.
Yeah, definitely. It really gives a different perspective, and it's great to get the recognition and to get picked up at number 2 overall. Is definitely something that is going to stick with me forever. And just takes me back to those times where, you didn't want to go run or you didn't want to go train, but, you had to stay disciplined and all that hard work just paid off in that day. And all that hard work is not finished yet. So.
You reach this level. It's great to be taking the draft, but now the whole world is in front of you, and I think Riders fans are very excited that a Saskatchewan Husky will be in the defensive backfield this coming season. What will it mean to you to play pro football in the same province you played college football in?
A lot. It's going to mean a lot. for one, it's going to be nice to play for the same fan base that, you know, grew up and saw my progression as a university player, and to have those same guys on my team playing for the Riders and playing for them with them, and it's going to be awesome. You know, I'm just super excited, super ready to get going.
I love it. I love it. He's Nelson Lacombo. He's the Riders' number two overall draft pick, and he's with us on the Western Pizza Hotline. When you look at the Canadian Football League, when you look at where the Riders are at right now, well, let's even leave the current Riders out of it. Where do you feel like you could play? What positions do you feel like you could play at the CFL level?
I've said this to many people. I think I could play anywhere, and I think for me, learning multiple positions is going to be huge in my, you know, for me to get on the field and for me to make an impact. I think I can make an impact anywhere, whether it be on defense, on special teams. I guess to answer your question shortly, anywhere.
In your college career with the Huskies, were you mostly the boundary halfback? Where were you in college, or was it everywhere?
So throughout my progression, I changed positions multiple times. I went from corner to halfback, and I was able to play in several different roles on the defense, different alignments. I blitzed off the edge a few times, and was able to contribute in multiple ways.
Because when we look at the Riders roster and we look at what they did in 2019, we start, as an observer, I start to think, okay, well, field cornerback, they ran Canadian at field halfback sometimes, safety, they're looking for a Sam linebacker. You're open to all of that.
Yeah, of course.
I love it.
I can see myself playing anywhere.
I love it. It's very exciting. Do you have a feeling for, well, let me ask you this. What did the Riders tell you? Did they give you any indication of what they plan to do with you? What was the call from, I presume, Jeremy O'Day like?
Yeah, they've basically shared the same sentiment as I do, as I have. From what I understand, talking to them, they said, just be ready to learn multiple positions, because that's going to be one way to get on the field. And you know, I'm all for that. That's what I did at SASC. So I'm excited.
I love it. I presume you've been watching the Riders playing football here. I presume you watch the guys that do what you want to do for a living. I don't want to put you on the spot, but give me a guy in that defensive backfield that you admire and you think, okay, that guy can get it done, and I wouldn't mind stealing some of that.
I probably have to say Mike Edom. He's somebody I watched when I went over there. I've only been to one Saskatchewan Roughriders game, but obviously I've watched on TV. But you know, I was able to watch them play live, and he's definitely a player that I'm trying to take as much. I'm going to try to take as much information out of. He's already reached out to me, so I'm excited to play with him.
Did he really? We know Mike's a good dude. He'll do stuff with us here on the Sports Cage. He's already reached out to you. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it. If you would, Nelson, two of your teammates got selected in the draft as well. Do you mind giving them a little hype for us and let us know what they're all about? Josh Haggerty, a defensive back taken by Toronto in the sixth round of the draft. What's Josh all about?
Josh is he's extremely tough. He's insanely smart too. But he's got the toughness to play anywhere. I think he played safety for us, and he was just I would say he's the hardest hitter on our team on the defensive side of the ball. We call him Big Bird because he just flies around out there. But he's awesome. He's a great dude. Was able to train with him and Bergie for my combine training, and you know, I couldn't have asked for anybody for a better group to train with.
I love it. And you mentioned Connor Berglof taken 24th by the Ottawa Red Blacks. What are the Red Blacks getting in Connor Berglof?
Yeah, they already know what they're getting in him. I'm assuming he's also extremely tough. He's a guy who's going to go in and do all the dirty work, and he's just a great teammate to have. I'm excited for both of them, and yeah, I just can't wait to see what they do out there.
What's it like watching two teammates get drafted as well?
It's awesome. It's awesome. It just goes to show how much the culture in Sask was changing in our university football team, and it's great to see. And you know, obviously, congratulating them is what I did, I'm excited for them. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I often I find myself in my life celebrating my friends' victories more so than my own, just because you're happy to see them. You've seen these guys and the work they've put in, and just those kind of things just make me smile.
Yeah, definitely happy for those guys, and can't wait to talk to them about playing them.
and then whooping Ottawa and Toronto, just taking them to the woodshed in this 14-game CFL season. So, Nelson, between now and whenever camp gets underway, what's on the agenda for you?
Well, right now it's just taking it day by day, just coming in and training as much as I can to get ready. Just preparing for the training camp, and even though we don't know for sure what's going to happen in the future, it's just getting ready and being ready for when that time comes. I'd say that.
All right, Nelson, I appreciate you joining us. I can't wait to see you at camp. I think on day one or day two of camp, you're going to be the most interviewed person there is, because Saskatchewan football fans love our U Sports players, we love our Riders, and you get to be both of them. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I can't wait.
That's great. Nelson, thank you, sir. Enjoy your day.
Thanks for having me.
He is Nelson Lecombo, the number two overall pick in the draft. The Riders getting a Saskatchewan Husky onto their roster, and the perfect answer to I'm ready to play wherever. Because the Riders, I mean, you look at their depth chart, they could go field corner. When Ailey Buka got into the games last year, they would have him at that field halfback spot. Safety has been Canadian for quite some time. Mike Adam holds that one down. We don't know, because Derek Moncrief has gone from 19. We literally don't know who's going to be the Sam linebacker.
Yeah.
Presumably LJ McCray, Lorenzo Jerome, but I don't know if you found two Canadians who could prosper in that spot. There's the chance. And to hear Nelson say, I'm ready for anything. I'll play. That's great.
My first thought of Nelson, whenever I think of Nelson, is when he absolutely took one to the house against the Regina Rams at Mosaic Stadium. I think that was this past 2019 season. It was a humbling moment, but now I'm glad I get to cheer for him.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm a Rams guy, but now he's on the good side now. So I'm looking forward to it, man.
There you go.
Exciting.
Those are the worst from a PA announcer perspective, right? Yeah. Where you're like, touchdown Huskies, Nelson Lecombo. You have to really like it. I always tried to make it sound like I was in mid-yawn when I was announcing what the other team, they had done good things.
The key to it is just straight monotone, you know, Nelson Lecombo, interception, 55 yards, touchdown Huskies.
Yeah, exactly. Like you know? If Kyron Moore's catch in the 2019 West Final was in Winnipeg and I was the guy, I was the public address commentator, I'd be like, Kyron Moore, 11 yards. First down. Yeah. Riders. Yeah. Just, you got to play. That's a must play down situation.
And it's even more drowsy when you're doing it for baseball. You can, at Red Sox games, at Moose Jaw Miller Express hit a homer. It's just like, straight sleeping.
Straight sleeping. It is 6:19. Gosh, we'll talk some more hockey, whatever we got. We'll hit you up on the text line, 306-936-6262. Marshall in Regina killing it on the under-18 game. He notified us of the Connor Bedard hat trick.
Yeah.
Very excited about that, as Canada is off to the final. They will take on Russia or Finland. Just let it be Russia. Yes. I want to see the best 15-year-old and the best 16-year-old in the world going at it on TSN tomorrow. 6:20, more from the cage coming. doubt it's in there. It's in Bull Durham, right?
I think the montage
in Bull Durham.
The baseball song. There was a no hitter today, so I'm feeling groovy for the baseball right now.
People get so wired up. When I was at SportsCenter, they would, oh my God, we got to move his Giants Diamondbacks to the top because there's a no hitter. I'm like, there have been 67,000 no hitters in the history of baseball. Like,
maybe perfect games. Like this guy today, John Means. I believe he was a wild pitch away from a perfect game today.
Really?
Yeah. So like, he's not going to be sleeping tonight. Probably on one pillow, he's going to be happy because he threw a no-no. But when he flips over to the cold side of the pillow on the other side, he's going to be thinking, but man, that wild pitch.
I can't believe it. Yeah, perfectos? Okay, because we can just hear Dave Van Horn calling Dennis Martinez is El Presidente, El Perfecto.
Yeah.
That one, there are just certain sound bites in sports that will always be in my mind. That's one of them. Don Whitman saying 979 for Ben Johnson at the Olympics in 88. Mm. That one just burned into my brain. There's some of those that will just be there forever. So the Capitals and Rangers are playing, and I don't know what the score is because no one cares because it was the let's go get Tom Wilson game. Immediately, opening puck drops, all three forwards fight the other three forwards. The two, the right winger and left winger, didn't know they were going to fight. Then they went, okay, well, let's throw our gloves down because the NHL getting what it deserves for not suspending Tom Wilson. We've been trying to figure out why the NHL didn't suspend him for what looked like a hair pull of Artemi Panarin. It's actually cleared up here in this tweet. It's from a publication called The Beaverton.
The Beaverton.
The NHL claims Tom Wilson was only providing first aid by applying ice surface to opposing players' head injuries.
Maybe.
That makes sense. That makes perfect sense. He was just trying to help them to the ice. It's good for swelling. He wasn't pulling a guy by his hair and trying to slam and push his face into the ice. It was first aid.
I was thinking about this today. Like, think back to like the 90s. Like, we saw this stuff all the time.
All the time.
And now it's just like, it's so outlawed, you know, like it's just so unacceptable now. That just goes to show how much times have changed. Like sometimes when you see those NHL classic games on ESPN or whatever, you tune in and then there's like line brawls every second shift.
Yeah,
and it's just like, and now there's one little, there's pulling of the hair, there's a face wash into the ice, and now all of a sudden just the world's on fire. It just goes to show how much hockey's different nowadays. And I know you probably like
it's for the better.
It's for the better, probably. It depends what point of view you have. Some people like it, some people don't, but I don't know where I sit. Sometimes I like a good shellacking when two guys go after each other, but sometimes, you know, the drama can be too much. But
let me ask you it this way. It's held up as if there's not fighting, then guys are just going to swing sticks. They're going to kill each other. Versus 20 years ago, do you see super violent incidents having increased from those days that you talk about?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there a Marty McSorley on Donald Brashear every month in the NHL now? As people, whoa, this is going to happen? No, it's not going to happen. It was never going to happen because ultimately, hockey players have respect for one another as athletes.
Yeah,
I'll always bring up if you wanted to stop shot blocking in the NHL, you could absolutely do it by hammering a puck into a guy's face very intentionally, drill him in the face, and he's never going to give you the two shin pad stack to try to block your shot again. But you don't do it. Why don't you do that, even though it would be great for your team? Because you don't want to kill a guy.
That Donald Brashear incident might be the worst. Like, I can't think of a worst incident in the NHL than when Marty McSorley ambushed Donald Brashear from behind, punched him in the head,
yeah,
and then drove him. Without, like, his helmet was slipped up, I'm pretty sure. And then he drove him into the ice. Like, I can't think of a... I remember how young I was when I saw that. And, like, I was thinking to myself, like, holy smokes. I can't think of a worse moment in the NHL.
Todd Bertuzzi in my time. Steve Moore.
Oh, that's right, Todd Bertuzzi.
Like, goons him from behind and drives his face into the ice and breaks his neck. Like...
Oh, that was
that's
bad too.
That's bad. Like things from, you know, my youth, like Clint Malarchuk, that was total accident, right? That stuff happens. This stuff, the NHL getting what it deserves with the line brawls, maybe they wanted it. they are certainly getting it tonight. 6:27, we are out tomorrow. Glenn Suter in fine tailored suits. We have a special giveaway attached with that. Suits will talk about the draft. The Riders, Mac Henry as well. Talk a little football. Talk about his off-ice work. Off-field work. That's going on right now. Sports Cage on demand for the Canadian Brewhouse. Stick around. Zinger at Night is next.